Me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. In chapter 16. Last week we gave an overview of this 16th chapter, 63 verses. We read the entire chapter, and let you know some thoughts and some ideas that we would be looking at in the course of this study. Tonight, we want to begin the first five verses and looking at them. Let's read these five verses again. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. The prophet Ezekiel here is directed to make known to Jerusalem her abominable sins. To make known to her abominable sins. We might think, and certainly she would know her sins. I know when I sin. Don't you know when you sin? The thing is, we can become hardened and we can become callous to those sins. We can to the point, I don't want to know my sins. We ignore them. We cover them. We hide them, so to speak. We play, we pretend as though they don't exist. They're not there. So Ezekiel was told to make known to Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, their abominable sins. He is to compare her to a female infant whose descendants and her birth are vile and wretched. What a vile and wretched condition. As we read about that newborn, what a miserable condition to be in. When you think, that poor infant, that poor little child, but yet he is told in these verses to compare Jerusalem, the nation, for that infant child. That is their beginnings, their birth, their nativity. Was as the infant described in these verses. So the first thing that we want to look at is the prophet's instruction in verses 1 and 2 is to make known her abominations. He's to make known her sins, her disgusting things. That's what her abominations means, her disgusting things. Set them in order before her eyes. Cause her to know how vile and how wicked that they have done. Sometimes in our sinning, we don't think, well, that our sin was all that bad. But now God wants Ezekiel to make known to Jerusalem, to the nation, just how bad their sins are. So that brings us to the first sub-point there. Sin provokes God to anger. God hates sin. Whether it be in the wicked or whether it be in His people, He hates sin. It angers Him. Sin is a disgusting thing. He hates it. It's contrary to who He is. Do we get that? We delight in our sins, but do we get the idea that it's contrary to the nature of God? It's contrary to what we've been called unto? We're called unto, if you're a child of God, if you're the people of God, we've been called unto holiness. We've been called to be holy as He is holy. Well, sin is contrary to holiness. Holiness is pure and undefiled. And holiness is to hate sin. So God hates it. It's contrary to His very nature. It's contrary to who He is. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, we've got quite a few verses that we look at. Jeremiah chapter 44, in verse 4, God says, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." Just like every other where in Scripture, that you see that word hate, there's no way you can cut it any other way than hate. He hates it. It's disgusting to Him. It infuriates. It fills Him with indignation. He hates it. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness. Burn no incense unto other gods. You see, there's the sin He's charging them with, their idolatry. And he said, I sent many prophets to you. I sent them to you early, and I sent many of them. And plead with you, don't do this abominable thing that I hate. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 7. In verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry, indignant with the wicked every day. Why is he indignant with them? Why is he angry with them? Because he hates their sin. This verse also tells us that he hates it in his people. God judgeth the righteous. What do you think that means? God punishes the righteous. When we sin, God punishes us. He whips us. He reproves, he rebukes, he exhorts us. He chastens us. Even as a father, the son in me delighteth. As Hebrews 12 tells us, that punishment, that chastisement we receive just verifies that we are the children of God, and we're sons, we're not bastards. We're not illegitimate children. But we are his people. Look with me at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. In verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom here is saying, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom says, these things do I hate. God says, these things do I hate. When we sin, it is pride. It is arrogancy. It's evil. It's an evil way. God says that he hates it. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy in chapter 16. In verse 22. Neither shalt thou, his instructions to the nation of Israel, neither shalt thou set thee up an image which the Lord thy God hateth. You shall not practice idolatry. You shall not set up idols before you. I hate it, God says. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 1, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll not practice idolatry. You'll not have any other God before you but me, the Lord thy God. You understand that it's not just the sin of idolatry. Actually, all sin is idolatry. Have you come to know that yet? That all sin is idolatry? I'm going to go ahead and do this. Well, I'm just as important as God. I'm going to go ahead and do it. You see, many times we set ourselves up to be God, and we worship ourselves, not the God, the Lord our God, not the God of heaven. Listen, God hates sin. He's angry with sin. He's angry with evil. He's angry with wickedness. Therefore, If we're his children, we ought to hate it too. You see, that's what repentance is. That's what conversion is. In repentance, we abhor our sins. We say the same thing about sin that God says about our sins. We hate it. And we turn from it. Turn from our sin. Turn to obedience to God. Delight in His Word. We turn to God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. In chapter 101, Psalms 101, and look with me at verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The psalmist hates it. He's a child of God. He hates it. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, of them that turn aside from God, turn aside from that which is good and right and pure, and turn to evil and to wickedness. He said, it's not going to cleave to me. It's not going to be a part of me. It's not going to stick to me. We live in a day and time and a world in which it's hard for us not to see some things. But as I've said before, we don't have to let the eyes feast upon it. We don't have to take it into our heart. mulled around. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He's not going to allow any wicked thing before his eyes. Psalms 119. And verse 104. My precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The writer of this psalm said he hates that way which is not right, that way which is false, that way which is deceit, that way which is lying, that way which is evil, that way which is wicked. He hates it. God hates it. God has removed that old stony heart and planted a heart of flesh in there, the heart that is soft and pliable towards God. And now we love the things of God and we despise the things of the world, the sin and the evil and the wickedness that abounds and the sin that so frequently abounds in our lives. We hate it, don't we? Look at verse 113. He said, I hate vain thoughts. I hate vain thoughts. Thy law do I love. Do we hate evil? Do we hate that which is wicked? Do we hate that which is empty and void of God? Do we love the Word of God? Do we delight in His Word, in feasting in His Word? Back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 8. The writer of this Proverbs and this particular proverb, probably Solomon, without a doubt. He says, verse 7, he says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wickedness, because it's an abomination before God. The writer of this proverb said, it's an abomination to my lips. It's an abomination for my lips to speak it. It's an abomination for my mind to think it. It's an abomination for me to do it. I'll remind you again what verse 13 said. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you have the fear of the Lord? Yes, do you have an awe and a reverence for the Lord, for God, for Jehovah? But do you fear Him? Do you tremble at the thought of sinning and displeasing Him and bringing, as we've seen, punishment? In Psalm 7, verse 11, punishment upon the righteous. He punishes His children. the sins of Jerusalem were especially abominable. God had dealt with them a long time. They were a great abomination unto him. As we read in Jeremiah, he had sent his prophets many times, early to them. But they would not. And they continued to do that abominable thing which he hated. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 21. See the stage that Judah had progressed to, the stage that Jerusalem had progressed to. Chapter 21 of 2 Kings, verse 1, said, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. He did that which the heathens before them had done. Let's look at some of what he did. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. Hezekiah his father, when he became king, he tore down those high places. He tore down those places of idolatry. He opened up the house of the Lord again, restored worship to the temple. But Manasseh built these high places up again. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. You know who Ahab was? Ahab was a wicked king. There was none before him that did as wickedly as Ahab did. And here's Manasseh, king of Judah, reigning from Jerusalem, doing just as wicked as Ahab, and worshiping all the host of heaven, and serving all the host of heaven, everything that you can see in the heavens. We worship them. He promoted that worship. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, well, I put my name. The name of the Lord was to be in Jerusalem. Not the host of heaven. Not Baal. But the name of Jehovah. The name of our God. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made his son pass through the fire. Can you imagine that? He made his son to pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments, fortune telling, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. All these things mentioned in verse 6 here are idolatry. It's looking to someone else, to something else, than to the God of heaven, the Creator God, Jehovah God. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move anymore out of the land which I gave them, gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Those nations that the Lord destroyed before them, they got in their path and the Lord destroyed them. When they were going in to possess the land, the Lord destroyed them. And He destroyed them because of their wickedness and because of their evil and because of their idolatry. Manasseh caused the people to do more wickedly than they did. What do you expect God's going to do to Judah? And the Lord spoke by His servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yes, they had done very much evil, very much wickedness. Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. For behold, the Lord of hosts, to take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50, an honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. These are all things that God's going to take from Judah, from Jerusalem, because of their sin. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of His glory. They show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They didn't do the same sin as Sodom, but their sin is just as open, just as flagrant as what the sin of Sodom was. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. When believers are irreverent of God, it is very offensive to Him. And just as we read in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, the Lord said that He judgeth the righteous. He punished the righteous. Yes, we're His people. We're saved. Never to be lost, never to be condemned. Hellfire. But we do suffer. In this life, we suffer the punishment of God. For sin is unconfessed, unacknowledged before God. Well, we'll stop there tonight and